Among the Christians in Galatia, some were teaching that, in order to be saved, Christians still had to keep the Judaic law, even to the point of being circumcised. Some of these people were boasting that they had kept the law so scrupulously. The Apostle Paul argues forcefully that God requires no such thing, and that keeping such a false obligation is nothing to boast about. Reading from the letter to the Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. Listen for the word of God. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one to a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work, then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand? It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even circumcised do not let themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. In today's reading from Luke, Jesus sends out 70 disciples to minister as he ministers. Reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 20, listen for God's word. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. If not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your own town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.' I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment, it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And for you, Capernaum, you will be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. Whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Did you have fireworks? Fireworks, yeah, fireworks, excellent. So I went away, I went out of town to Massachusetts to see family, brothers, sisters-in-law, nieces, my sister with whom I drove up. Always nice to get out of the city, right? So even though I'd be gone for only one day, I still had to pack a few things, right? And since we were driving, didn't really matter how much I took. I could just throw it all in the car. But I definitely planned to travel light. Of course, I wanted to have rain gear in case it rained. It didn't. And a hat for protection in case it was hot and sunny. It was. And sunscreen, of course, and long sleeves for cool, buggy evenings, and, well, toiletries and pills, and a working draft of my sermon, of course. And as we were driving away, I thought, socks! I should have bought socks to protect my ankles on those buggy evenings. Oh, well. If my packing list for a brief trip was, if not exhaustive, then certainly extensive, compare it to the list Jesus gave the 70, his anti-packing list, rather. No money, no bag, no sandals. In fact, this whole passage with Jesus' extremely counterintuitive rules of the road is so odd, maybe I better backtrack just a little bit. So after delivering some hard words about discipleship, which we heard last week, and which may or may not have driven away some prospective followers, Jesus now issues some hard instructions to those who have decided to follow him, they did choose to come along. But first, though, he appoints a few people, a lot of people, really, to go on a mission trip. Now, the thing that strikes me is the sheer number of appointees. We know that Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem and gaining followers all the time. Luke, you may remember, spoke of some of the women who followed Jesus, Mary and Joanna and Susanna and many others. Still, I tend to think of Jesus and the 12 as the full-time cast of this traveling road show. It takes me back for a moment to be reminded of the large number of followers Jesus had by now. I mean, if he could choose 70 from among them, how many were there? And he does choose, notice. Jesus hasn't asked for volunteers, much less elected a committee to weigh the pros and cons of possible candidates for the job who are then invited into prayerful discernment to discover whether or not they might actually think this was the best call for them. No. Apparently, Jesus just says, you, and you, and okay, you, and then pairs them up as advanced teams for the gospel. Because, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That strikes a chord. We have so many things we want to do that we feel we need to do in the church. And those in leadership know how hard it can be to recruit volunteers, to find the laborers we need, to staff a committee, to host fellowship hour, to help with an event. But when we stop and think for a moment, we realize that that's not really the kind of harvest Jesus is talking about. He's talking about all those people, all those souls whom God has planted, just ripe for the picking, you could say, ready and perhaps even eager to hear the gospel then and now. You think? Well, it may seem these days that the world is indifferent, if not downright hostile to God. But I think the words of Blaise Pascal still resonate. There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every human which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator. I think there is a God-sized void in people's lives which they long to be filled, a God-sized hunger, as Jackson Brown sung much more recently than Blaise Pascal wrote. A Pew Research study from just a couple of years ago found that over 25% of adult U.S. citizens now describe themselves as spiritual but not religious. That percentage is up 5 points, I think, from a few years earlier, and it's increased, the study reports, among men and women, whites and blacks and Hispanics, people of different ages and education levels, and among Republicans and Democrats. You know, it's kind of tempting sometimes to make fun of that spiritual but not religious stuff, but I think it makes sense. I mean, most millennials, after all, weren't even raised in a faith tradition, many of them. All generations have become frustrated with organized religion, frustrated or just uninterested. And yet, still, there's a hunger to draw close to the divine, to find community, to make a difference in this needy world. I think the harvest is plentiful. But then, as now, the laborers are few. So Jesus handpicks a team of harvesters and sends them out like lambs into the midst of wolves. I wonder how the 70 reacted to that. First, they had no say in the matter. They just got chosen. And then they hear that they'll be like lambs. Poor, defenseless, delicious lambs set loose among scary, predatory, hungry wolves. Oh, cool. Sign me up, Jesus. And then Jesus gives them those crazy rules of the road, similar to those he'd given the 12 when he sent them out. Don't pack a lot. In fact, don't pack anything, not even money, not even a change of underwear. Don't stop to chit-chat on the road. Don't get distracted. Don't waste time. Just pick a house. Walk right in and go with the flow. Say, peace be to this house. If anyone there shares that peace, your peace will rest on them. But if not, not. Stay where you are, eating and drinking whatever's on offer, for you deserve some payment for your labor. But again, I tell you, don't move around from house to house like you're shopping around for a better Airbnb, more spacious accommodation, tastier cuisine, central air conditioning. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what's set before you, cure the sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Then, just to bring his point home, Jesus says, but whenever you enter a town and they don't welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. If the people are less than hospitable, Jesus says, let God worry about the judgment and just move on. Don't, in other words, don't call in the consultants to figure out what you've done wrong, how you might do better. Don't get hung up on a numbers game, because it's a losing proposition. Jesus isn't interested in measuring your success. As one writer points out, now that's really counterintuitive. He says, in our congregations, it's difficult to avoid measuring success We live with membership figures, giving levels, budgets, annual reports. It's very easy to measure our work by these figures, and that's how many people will measure our ministry. But that's contrary to this text. And preacher J.C. Austin notes, perhaps the biggest challenge facing the mainline Protestant church in North America today is that pretty much our whole plan of how to do ministry is designed to welcome people in to hear the good news. That's what we've trained our pastors to do. That's how we've organized our congregations to work. And that's how we evaluate our success. How many people attend worship? How many people join the church as members? And that plan, he says, seemed to have worked pretty well at one time, but for all sorts of reasons, fewer and fewer people across the country are coming in on their own now. But that doesn't mean they're not hungry for good news. Perhaps they haven't even heard it. Or more painfully, perhaps we haven't given them enough reason to think we really have good news to share. In any case, he concludes, it's time for a change of plans. It's time for a change of plans. Well, maybe that's not what you signed up for. Maybe that's not what any of us signed up for. It's fair enough. But remember, Jesus isn't asking us to sign up. He's telling us to get going. You. And you. And yeah, okay, you. You have been chosen. And you are sent. And given everything you need. Sisters and brothers to journey with you. And good news, really good news to share, that the kingdom of God has come near. And that is enough. Because your mission, should you choose to accept it, isn't about success or failure. If people respond to you like you're the world's biggest movie star and the world's greatest athlete and Kim Kardashian all rolled into one, well, that's great. Keep on doing God's work. If, on the other hand, people turn their backs on you or treat you like pond scum, well, that's great, too. Just move on without plotting revenge or feeling like a failure. Because your success or failure, this church's success or failure, isn't measured by society's yardstick, but by God's. After the 70 returned, all excited about what they'd accomplished, Jesus noted what they'd done by his authority. But he cautioned, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Brian Epperly says, we are responsible for the fidelity of our message and our spiritual well-being. The rest is up to the gentle providence of God and the decisions of those to whom we minister. Here, in this place, we share God's peace, just as Jesus instructed. We come to the table. We eat what is set before us there. Here, in this place, we are given everything we need for the road trip ahead. For the harvest is plentiful. And the laborers are few, and you may be just the person that someone needs. Someone out there somewhere with a God-sized hunger in her heart, a God-shaped emptiness just waiting to be filled, waiting for you, and you. And yeah, okay, you. For as St. Teresa of Avila wrote, Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ looks out into the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless others now. Yours, and yours, and yours. So unpack your bags. It's time to hit the road. And to God alone be the glory. Amen.